For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Today is June the 28th. We are in Parshas Chukas. We are on page 842. We just finished a lengthy discussion of the Parah Aduma. And now we move on to the narrative part of Parshas Chukas, which will give us several incidents that happened to the Jewish people. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Aleph, Perek Chav Pasuk Aleph, chapter 20, verse 1. Vayavo v'nei Yisrael kol ha'idam midbar tzin b'chodesh harishon. And the entire group of Jews, all the Jews, came to Midbar Tzin. The entire congregation came to Midbar Tzin in the first month. Vayeshev ha'am b'kadesh. And the nation settled in Kadesh. Vatamas sham Miriam. And Miriam died there. Vatikaver sham, and she was buried there. The Gemara explains to us that when it says that they came kol ha'idah midbar tzin, the entire congregation, this means that we have now fast forwarded to the end of the 40 years in the desert. We know that in Parshas Shlach, which was two parshios before this one, that's where the Jews were, it was decreed upon us that we would have to wander for the next 38 years until 40 years in the desert was over. And Parshas Korach, which comes between then and this parsha, it is unclear when that happens. It's unclear whether it happens way back in the beginning, right after Parshas Shlach, or whether it's sometime during the 38 years. But this is after those 38 years are over, and we've now fast-forwarded to the end of the 40 years. I'll read you the Rashi, Kol Ha'edah, all of the congregation, Edah HaShlema, the complete congregation, Shekvar Mesu Mese Midbar, because those who were going to die already died. Ve'elu Pershu L'chaim, and these were separated for life. So these are the ones who were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, they weren't going into Eretz Yisrael just yet. They came to Midbar Tzin in the first month. Doesn't tell us exactly when Miriam died. But they're now here in Kadesh. Kadesh is right outside of Eretz Yisrael. They've circled back to Kadesh. They were in Kadesh Barnea, which is where they sent the Meraglim from. Then they had to wander for the next 38 years. And now they're back in Kadesh, and Miriam dies. So the Jews are going to not yet get into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be not until the following Nisan that they're going to get into Eretz Yisrael. But they're on the doorstep. And those who are going to die have died. So Miriam now passes away. So we know that Miriam was one of the three people who died al pi neshika. Neshika means the kiss of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, and Miriam are the three who died in that way. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us there are many ways to die, and some are more painful than others. In all cases, death is the separation of the neshama from the guf, the neshama, the soul from the body. So the Gemara says the more painful ways of dying are likened to having a rope, a thick rope that is inside a small hole that they use, let's say, to hold the boards of a raft together. And that rope is then knotted so it can't come out. But it's a thick, heavy rope, and it's knotted, and it can't come out of that small hole. But if you pull and you pull and you pull, then eventually the wood of the raft will splinter and shatter, and you'll pull that rope out from that hole. So that is a mashal, that's a parable for a very painful way to die. The neshama being pulled out of the body that way, and it shatters the body. Whereas neshika, dying by the kiss of Hashem, is compared to pulling a hair out of milk. Picture a cup of milk and there's a hair floating on the top and you pull it out. It's not traumatic at all. So that is how Miriam passed away, and that is also how Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu are going to pass away as well. Miriam dies first. She is the oldest. In Parshas Chukas, actually not so long later in Parshas Chukas, although we will not get to it tonight, Aaron is also going to pass away. It's going to be after Miriam, but he will pass away as well. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, does not pass away until the end of the Torah. So we have a ways to go before he passes away, but in terms of time, they all pass away in the same year. They all pass away in the 40th year that we are in the desert. So Miriam passes away here first, and it's the first incident we have at the end of the 40 years. So now, we're not told why Miriam passes away at this time. We know why Moshe and Aaron are going to pass away prior to their entering Eretz Yisrael, which actually we're about to get to. That's going to be triggered by Miriam's death. As we will see, the incident with the rock is what we're going to get to tonight. That's going to be triggered by Miriam's death. But we're not told why Miriam passes away over here. It could be that her time was up. But whatever the reason is, that's the very first incident that happens in the 40th year. So Miriam passes away. And she's buried there, meaning she's not brought into Eretz Yisrael. She's buried there just like Moshe and Aaron are buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Miriam is also buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, V'lo haya mayim la'ida, and there was no water for the congregation. This is how we know that the well was in the zchus, in the merit of Miriam. That which all of you and I know as a given, that which we've been told since we ever learned about this, that we know that the water that we had while in the desert came through the merit of Miriam, the zchus of Miriam. But the Torah never says that explicitly. It never says explicitly that the water was because of Miriam and the clouds were because of Aaron and that the man was because of Moshe Rabbeinu. It never says it explicitly. We derive it from the fact that those things stopped when each of them passed away. When Miriam passed away, that's when the water stopped. So that teaches us that the water was in the merit of Miriam. Vayikohalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. So the people congregated on Moshe and Aaron. People were upset. What are we supposed to do now with no water? We're in the middle of the wilderness. How are we supposed to survive without water? Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. The nation fought with Moshe. Vayomru lemor. And they said, V'lu gavanu. And oh, that we should have died. Bigva achenu lifnei Hashem. In the death of our brethren before Hashem. Meaning, we would have preferred to have died with a plague, which is the most recent deaths of people that we know of in the Torah, which goes back to Parshas Korach, where people died in a plague. It would have been better had we died in a plague rather than this. The Gemara tells us, you see from here, that thirst is a terrible way to die. It's a very, very, there's a lot of suffering in dying of thirst. So they say that we would have preferred to have died through a plague. Why did you bring the congregation of Hashem to this wilderness? Lamus sham, to die there, anachnu uvi'irenu, us and our livestock. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To bring us to this evil place. Lo mekom zera, this is not a place of planting of seed, useina, and fig trees, vegefen, and vines, virimon, and pomegranates, umayim ayin lishdos, and there's no water to drink. Now these are the Jews at the end of the 40 years. These are not the Jews that we are familiar with that made the other complaints back in the time of the Miraglim, etc. So here these are the children, but when beset and faced with certain death, no water, the Jews complain. And we are familiar with that storyline. And here they complain again, and they say, you haven't brought us to where you said you're going to bring us, and there's no water. And Moshe and Aaron came because of the group, because of the congregation, they came to the doorway of the Mishkan. They fell on their faces. And the honor of Hashem appeared before them. Hashem appeared in a cloud. So what happens next? And here we have the really the infamous story of the rock. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying. Now, before we read this story, I want to refresh your memories about what happened 40 years earlier when we had no water. Let's hold the place here on page 842, and let's turn back to Parashas Bishalach. Whenever anybody speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu on the rock, they normally mean what we're about to read here in Parashas Chukas. However, there was another incident with Moshe Rabbeinu and the rock, and that was back on page 390, back in the beginning of the 40 years. Now, what happens over here on page 390? On page 390, when there's no water to drink, in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Shem said to Moshe, Avor lifnei ha'am, pass in front of the nation, V'kach itcha mizikne Yisrael, take with you from the elders of the Jewish people, U'matcha asher hikisa bo es hayar, and the staff with which you used to strike the Nile River, kach biyadcha, take it in your hands, v'halachta, and go. This staff that was the object of punishment, it smacked the Nile River and made plagues, you take it with you. Hinani omei lefanecha sham al hatsur b'chorev, I will be standing there before you on the stone in Chorev. V'hikisa v'atsur, you will strike the rock. V'yatsu mimenu mayim, and water will come out of it. V'shasah ha'am, and the nation will drink. V'yas kein Moshe leinei ziknei Yisrael, and Moshe did this in front of the elders of the Jewish people. V'yikra shem ha'makom Masa u'meriva, the name of the place was called Masa u'meriva. Al-riv b'nei Yisrael, because of the fighting of the Jewish people. V'al naso sam es Hashem lemor, and that which they tested Hashem, saying, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, is Hashem within our midst or not? Masa u'meriva means testing and fighting. That's what the name of the place was called. And then the next story is that Amalek fights with the Jewish people. So here, the very first time, 40 years earlier, when Moshe Rabbeinu is told to get water out of a rock, he is told to take his staff with him and strike the rock. That's very important. That context is very, very important when we are now about to read. Let's turn back now to page 842. To read page 842 without that context is missing the entire framework that Moshe Rabbeinu has. Moshe Rabbeinu remembers 40 years earlier that he was told to take his staff with him and strike the rock. So what happens here? Pasuk Zion verse 7. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Kach es ha-mateh, take the staff. V'hakel es ha-idah, and gather the congregation. Ata ve'aron achicha, you and Aaron, your brother. V'dibartem el ha-sela le'enehem, and you, plural, both of you, will speak to the stone in front of their eyes. V'nasan me'mav, and it will give forth its water. You will bring forth from them, to them water from the stone. You will water the people and their livestock. Now, note that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff with him when you go to the rock. Moshe took the staff from before Hashem. Kasher Tzivohu, just as he was commanded. At this point, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing exactly what Hashem told him to do, which is take the staff with you when you go to the rock. Vayakhilu Moshe v'Aaron es ha'kahol al pnei ha'sala. Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation in front of the rock. Vayom alahem, and he said to them, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Shimu na ha'morim, listen now, all you rebellious ones. They translate that as, oh, rebels. Rebels, listen now. Hamin hasela hazen otzilachem mayim. Do you think we will take water out of this rock? It's like almost like a magician, right? You think I'll be able to take water out of a rock? Vayarem Moshe es yado. Moshe lifted his hand. Vayach es hasela b'mateu pa'amayim. And he struck the stone with his staff twice. Vayetsu mayim rabim. And much water came out. Vatesh ta'ido uviram. And the people and their livestock drank. So Moshe Rabbeinu disobeyed Hashem. He didn't speak to the rock, at least that's what it seems, and instead he hit the rock. It's important to note, Hashem did not tell him, do not hit the rock. So when we say that Moshe Rabbeinu disobeyed, he didn't do something that Hashem told him not to do. What he did is he did something that Hashem didn't tell him to do. He struck the rock. Now the question is, what about speaking to the rock? Did he not do something that Hashem told him to do? We know he did something that Hashem didn't tell him to do, but what about speaking? Did he also not do something that Hashem told him to do? We'll talk about that. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron. So now the famous statement Hashem makes to Moshe and to Aaron. Ya'an lo ha'amantem bi, because you did not trust in me. L'hakdisheni le'inei v'nei Yisrael, to sanctify me in the eyes of the Jewish people. L'chein, therefore, lo soviu es ha'akahal hazeh, you will not bring this congregation, el ha'aretz asher nasati lahem, to the land that I have given them. End of story. Hema mei meriva, these are the waters of fighting, asher avu v'nei Yisrael es Hashem, that the Jews fought with Hashem through these waters, vayikadesh bam, and he, Hashem, was sanctified with them. And that is the end of the story, and that this is where we have that Moshe and Aaron will not go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are many questions, and there are many approaches over here. We are going to use Rashi's approach. As always, Rashi is very succinct, and we're going to develop his approach a little bit. Before doing that, let's make note of the fact, as we said, that the way that we know that Miriam was the reason, was the merit through whom we got water in the desert, through the rock, the way we know that is because it's the water stopped when she died. This is a typical, recurring event, that we don't appreciate things until they're gone. Miriam was not fully appreciated for what she provided. It was not known or clear that the water was on behalf of Miriam until she died. When she died and the water disappeared, the people then realized, and we now realize, that the water was because of Miriam. When she was alive, that was not necessarily the case. It is a typical human thing. We don't really appreciate what we have until it's gone. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff and go and speak to the rock. So one has to immediately ask the question, why was he told to take the staff? If he is supposed to speak to the rock and he is not supposed to strike the rock, then why does Hashem tell him to take the staff? It's almost like Hashem was setting him up for failure. Take the staff. He didn't say, take the staff and don't use it. He said, take the staff and talk to the rock. So that's a little confusing, but that's what he told him to do, especially in context, as we mentioned, that 40 years earlier, he told him, take the staff and strike the rock. So here he tells him, take the staff and speak to the rock. Okay. So, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron go with the staff like they're supposed to. They gather everybody in front of the stone. And here we have a very, very curious statement. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shimuna Hamorim, listen, O rebellious ones. Hamina Sela Hazen Otzilachem Mayim. You think we're going to get water out of this rock? Now, if today a great sage would come with a staff and there would be a lack of water and he would say to us, you think I'm going to get water out of this staff, out of this rock? You think I'm going to get water out of this rock? Watch. And then he'll either speak to the rock or strike the rock and water will come out. Our eyes will pop out. It would be unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, this seems a little melodramatic. They've been drinking water out of a rock for the past 40 years. What's the big deal? What does he mean? You think I'm going to take water out of this rock? Yeah, that is what I think. It's happened the past 40 years. This is not a major miracle for us. We've seen it. We've lived with it for 40 years. So what is this dramatic statement? You think I'm going to take water out of this rock? Sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to make this something more than it is. Why does he say that? And then, of course, the question of why does he strike the rock? That is the biggest question of them all. And why does he strike it twice? It says he struck the rock twice and water came out. Fine. But perhaps the question which sheds light on the entire thing, which I think is frequently overlooked, is really in the next paragraph. Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem admonishes Moshe and Aaron, and he says, you didn't sanctify my name, and therefore you will not go into the land. What was their offense? What did Moshe and Aaron do wrong? Now, if I were writing the Torah, and it's a good thing I'm not writing the Torah, I would have said that they were disobedient. Hashem said, speak to the rock, and they struck the rock, or he struck the rock. They, Aaron, you see, is included in all of this, maybe because he agreed with what Moshe Rabbeinu did, but whatever it is, they are both punished. And I would have said the reason is because of disobedience. You were told to strike the rock, and instead they were told to speak to the rock, and instead they struck the rock. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, Yan lo he'emantem bi, because you didn't believe in me, says Hashem. You didn't trust me. What lack of trust is going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock. He struck the rock. Water coming out of a rock is a miracle no matter how you slice it. Whether you speak to the rock, whether you strike the rock, whether you do handstands on top of the rock, it's going to be a miracle. So what is the disbelief that is being demonstrated over here? You didn't trust me. You didn't believe in me, says Hashem. To sanctify my name, you didn't. Therefore, you won't go into the land. So that needs explanation. And finally, our last question is that the very last verse, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, the Torah ends off with a postscript. These are the waters of Meriva, of fighting, that the Jews fought with Hashem over this water. Vayikadesh bam, and he, Hashem, was sanctified with the waters of this rock. I thought Hashem just told Moshe and Aaron, you didn't sanctify my name. You were supposed to, but you didn't trust in me to sanctify my name in front of the Jewish people. So, was Hashem sanctified? Or was he not sanctified? He tells Moshe and Aaron, you didn't trust in me to sanctify my name. So you're not going to go into Israel. So now, these are the waters that the Jews fought with Hashem, and Hashem was sanctified through the waters. I thought he wasn't sanctified through the waters. So it seems he wasn't sanctified through the waters the way it was supposed to happen, which would have been through talking to the rock. And instead, Hashem was sanctified through the waters in a different way. What's the different way? Is it the hitting of the rock? Or is it Moshe and Aaron not being allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? So let's now go through it carefully. So again, what are our questions? Number one, why does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff with him if he doesn't intend for him to strike the rock? Especially since the first time, 40 years earlier, he was told to take the staff and strike the rock. So now take the staff, but don't strike the rock? What's the point of the staff? Number one. Number two, why didn't they listen? I'm sorry, before that. Number two, what's this dramatic statement? You think I'm going to get water out of this rock? Yeah, I do think you're going to get water out of this rock. We've been doing it for 40 years. What's that dramatic statement of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's number two. Number three, why didn't they listen? Why did he strike the rock instead of speak to the rock? Number four, why twice? Strike the rock twice? Why not once? Number five, what does Hashem say? You didn't trust in me. I thought it was disobedience. Where's the distrust? And number six, if Hashem says you didn't trust in me to sanctify my name, that means Hashem's name wasn't sanctified, but then it says Hashem was sanctified. So which one is it? Now, as I said before at the outset, we're going to use Rashi's approach over here. There are many approaches. We're going to use Rashi's approach, but we're going to develop it a little bit. What was Hashem's intention over here? What message did Hashem want the Jews to get? Had it been done properly, had Moshe Rabbeinu taken the staff, spoken to the rock, and water would have come out of the rock, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have been considered to have trusted in Hashem, and Hashem would have been sanctified. So how? How would that have sanctified Hashem's name? Rashi tells us, I'll read it to you. This is in Pasuk Yubez in 12. Lahakti sheni to sanctify me. She'ilu dibartem el hasela. Had you spoken to the stone, fahotzi, and it would have given forth water, hayisi mekudash le'enei ha'eda, I would have been sanctified to the eyes of the congregation. How? Va'omrim, they would say, ma'sela zeh, what do we find with this stone? Sheino medaber, veino shomea, it can neither speak nor can it hear. Veino tzarech leparnasa, it does not need to be sustained. It doesn't eat. It doesn't need a roof over its head. Stone is perfectly good as it is. Yet, mekayim diburo shel makom, it fulfills the word of Hashem, even though the stone neither hears nor speaks and doesn't need anything. It just sits there like a lump. And it's fine. And yet it listens to what Hashem says. Kal vachomer anu, us all the more so that we can speak and we can hear and we need parnasa, we need to be sustained, we need to be cared for. Well, all the more so we should listen to Hashem. That would have been the sanctification of Hashem's name. But it didn't happen because the rock wasn't spoken to, the rock was struck. How does that not sanctify Hashem's name? Hashem wanted to be sanctified through Moshe and Aaron speaking to the rock, and then we Jews would have said, oh, look at that, a stone which doesn't hear, doesn't speak, and doesn't need anything, yet when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to it, it does the will of Hashem. We who speak and we hear and we need a whole bunch of things, we're very dependent. Well, then all the more so, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells us what Hashem says, we better listen. Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock. So that message was lost. That's what Hashem says. I wasn't sanctified. Isn't there another message, though? What's the other message? Don't we get a message like this? A stone, which neither hears nor speaks, and doesn't feel pain. A stone just sits there like a lump. It doesn't feel pain. But when it gets smacked, it listens, it does what it's supposed to do. Well, if we get smacked, we better do what we're supposed to do. Because Hashem can smack you. You better listen. Because look what happens. You can get smacked. Isn't there a message like that going on? In fact, that is exactly the message the Jews got. Why? Because Rashi explains to us, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu said, you think I'm going to get water out of this rock? So as we asked, what's the big deal? They've been doing it for 40 years. Because Moshe and Aaron came, and they gathered everybody around, and they did exactly what Hashem told them to do. They spoke to the rock exactly like they were supposed to. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. They spoke to the rock and nothing happened. Rashi says that the rock that had been with them for 40 years and had produced all this water was now among a whole bunch of other rocks. The rock wasn't stationary, moved with them, apparently. And now that Miriam died, not only had the rock stopped giving forth water, but the rock looked like all the other stones in the area. They didn't know which was the right rock. So Moshe and Aaron came to the area of the rocks with all the people there, these people who were complaining. They were complaining that we're going to die. We have no water. What'd you do to us? And now these very same people also realize that the water was in the merit of Miriam, because Miriam died and the water's gone. And Miriam's no longer with us. And the water stopped. We're going to die. We have no one through whom we will merit having water. Not Aaron, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the water was never because of them. The water was because of Miriam. And Miriam's not with us anymore. Then we're finished. We're done. We're going to die of thirst. There's nothing we can do. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, 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 no. Here, gather together. Watch. Gather together. And they speak to the rock that they think is the right rock. And nothing happens. Now what? What is Moshe supposed to do now? We've got a whole bunch of people, apparently thousands of people, who are panicking. There's no water. And the tzadekis, the righteous woman through whom we got the water, is no longer alive. We're going to die. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, take your staff, go to the rock, and speak to it. And he does. And nothing happens. What a chilul Hashem. What a desecration of God's name. Hashem is not responding, and the people are going to die. Now what? What is he supposed to do? So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a decision. And he says, ah, I get it. That's why Hashem told me to take the staff with me. Why did he tell me to take the staff? He told me to take the staff because there's a lesson for the Jewish people that has to come out of this. And that lesson is this. You better listen the first time. Because if you don't, you're going to get smacked. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, you think I'm going to get water out of this rock? Rashi says, you think I have the wrong rock? Is that what you think? You think I spoke to the wrong rock? You think I would get water out of a rock that Hashem didn't say to get water out of the rock? You think I got the wrong one? No, no, no. He takes the staff and he smacks the rock. And a little bit of water comes out. Not a lot. But a little bit of water comes out. I mean, water coming out at all is a miracle. Let's be clear about it. Right? Any water coming out of the rock is a miracle. Water comes out. Not like with Miriam. Not a bunch of water. A little bit of water comes out. Which is miraculous. It's not going to keep the people from dying of thirst. It might stave it off for a little while, but they don't have enough water here. It's not easy. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why only a little bit of water? Why not a lot of water? Ah, because the message is even stronger. If you are spoken to and you don't listen, you're going to get smacked. And after you get smacked, if you still only listen a little bit, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get smacked again. And he picks up the staff and he smacks it a second time. And a torrent of water comes out. Lesson learned. You need to listen to Hashem. And if you don't listen, you get smacked. And if when you get smacked, you just listen a little bit, you're going to get smacked again. And then you're going to listen, whether you like it or not. And that's exactly what happened. And it's a very powerful lesson that is learned by the Jewish people. That could have been a very successful story. And the lesson is not a bad lesson. We don't like a lesson like that. It doesn't speak to our hearts. That's not one of those lessons, those touchy-feely lessons that we like to make everybody feel good about. But it's a lesson. There is something to be said for understanding that there is punishment. Hashem does punish if people, God forbid, if people do the wrong thing and they don't do teshuva, there is punishment. There is schar, there's reward, but there is punishment. It's not that you get away with things in this lifetime. Hashem punishes. So that's a tough lesson. It's not a lesson I like to hear. It's not a lesson anybody likes to hear, but it does have its place. So listen. And if you don't, smack. And if you only listen a little bit, smack again. Now you're going to listen. Says Hashem to Moshe and Aaron, you gave the wrong lesson. That's not the lesson I wanted. You didn't believe in me. You didn't trust me. Yan lo he'emantem bi. It wasn't disobedience. Moshe and Aaron didn't disobey Hashem. All Hashem said to do was take the staff and speak to the rock, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He took the staff and he spoke to the rock. But then nothing happened. And the question was, now what? There were no instructions about this. There was no manual to look at. Okay, what do you do now? Now what? We're in the moment. Now what? Now we're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader we ever had. The one who was closest to Hashem. The one who was most capable of anticipating what Hashem would really want. The one who knows Torah the best. So it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu is bereft of any tools over here. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes a decision that the lesson Hashem wants to give over is listen or be smacked. But Hashem says, that's not the lesson I wanted. And you didn't trust in me. What was the lack of trust? Because when you spoke to the rock and nothing happened, you were afraid of Chilul Hashem, of a desecration of God's name, that now what's going to happen? Trusting in me would have meant to speak to the rock again. But instead you struck the rock. Had you spoken to the rock again, water would have come out, a torrent of water like it's supposed to, and you never would have had to strike the rock. And the Jews would have heard a lesson. The lesson they would have heard, as we read, is that a rock neither speaks nor hears. The rock can't hear what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. The rock can't speak. And the rock doesn't need anything from Hashem. And yet, the rock does the will of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the rock couldn't have an effect on the rock because the rock can't hear. The rock can't speak. The rock doesn't have those intelligent thought as we do. So this speaking to the rock is just an exercise of teaching us a lesson. What's the lesson? That when Hashem speaks to you, you should listen. Because we need Hashem. Because we can hear. We can speak. We can understand when Hashem is speaking to us. we can perceive. Hashem gave us, Baruch Hashem, the faculties to be able to intelligently think and express ourselves and communicate and be communicated with. And we desperately need Hashem. We are so dependent. No water, we're going to die. We need this. So we better listen as well. It's a good thing to listen to Hashem. Only good things come from listening to Hashem. And this lesson would have been taught to the Jewish people in the most powerful way, because when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the first time, nothing happened. You see, we know that we're supposed to listen to Hashem. What happens when we know that we didn't listen to Hashem? What happens then? What happens when we feel bad about ourselves because we know we didn't do the right thing? Hashem said one thing and we did something else. Hashem said one thing and we ignored him. God forbid. So now what? Is the relationship severed? Are we done for? God forbid. Are we finished? No. Hashem speaks a second time through Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem speaks a second time, and water comes forth. The message would have been very, very clear to the Jewish people. If you didn't listen the first time, listen the second time. We can understand. We're human beings. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions. That happens. But even when we make the wrong decisions, we can still make the right decision afterwards. Even when we made the wrong decision, even if we made the wrong decision repeatedly, but when Hashem speaks to us again, we should listen. That would have been the lesson. But Moshe Rabbeinu is holding the stick. Why did Hashem tell him to hold the stick? He wants him to talk to the rock. Because that would have been an even stronger lesson. Hashem has a stick. Hashem could, God forbid, strike us at any time. We are totally dependent on Him. We are totally at His mercy. That staff can come down at any time. But Hashem generally chooses not to use the stick. Hashem has the ability to, but instead He speaks to us. And even when we don't listen the first time, He still doesn't use the stick. And He speaks to us a second time. And we should listen. That would have been the message. But instead, the message was almost diametrically opposed. You're spoken to, and if you don't listen, you get smacked. And if you still don't listen, you get smacked again. And that is the lack of trust that Moshe and Aaron showed over here. I want everybody to understand that this mistake that Moshe and Aaron made is a mistake that any one of us would have made as well. Think of it, standing there at the moment with thousands of people complaining and being very boisterous about their complaints, and you gather them together and you're going to show them and you speak to the rock and nothing happens. And you're holding the stick because Hashem told you to. And last time you were told to strike the rock. And there certainly is a lesson here that can be learned. The natural thing to do, Hashem never told you to speak to the rock twice. The natural thing to do would be exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Strike the rock. But on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, and only Moshe Rabbeinu's level, on Aaron's level, the two of them, on the level they were on, they are held responsible for this very, very subtle mistake. This was not disobedience. They did not disobey. They did what Hashem said to do. But when it didn't work, and now what? That was the mistake. And on their level, they are taken to task. And they're not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And that is the fate of Moshe and Aaron. Remember that back at the end of Parashas Bahaloscha, when Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem comes down to punish Miriam and Aaron, and He first gives them a short admonishment about Moshe Rabbeinu, that they should know that Moshe Rabbeinu is on a whole different plane of existence, that his prophecy is on a different level. And Hashem says to them, after describing their prophecy, he says, Lochin avdi Moshe, that is not so with my servant Moshe. Bechol beisi ne'emanu, in all my house, he's the most trustworthy. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most trustworthy, says Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, of all people, was capable of withstanding this test. But he unfortunately did not. Moshe Rabbeinu is also a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu also has a Yetzer Hara. It's not like our Yetzer Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu is well beyond any type of petty, low types of Yetzer Haras that we have. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a whole different level of existence. But Moshe Rabbeinu is nevertheless a human being. And all human beings are challenged by the Yetzer Hara. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in this case, did not succeed. In this case, on his level, a very, very subtle mistake was made. And he and Aaron, therefore, lose their right to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, we therefore have the various points that we brought up answered. Why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the stick? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you think I'm going to get water out of this rock? Why he strikes the rock? Why twice? And why Hashem says, you didn't believe in me, you didn't trust me. But what about the last point? You didn't trust me to sanctify my name. And yet, it says that these waters are how Hashem was sanctified. How is Hashem sanctified? I thought he wasn't sanctified. The lesson that was supposed to be learned wasn't learned. Rashi says, how was Hashem sanctified? Vayikadesh bam, he was sanctified in those waters. Shemesu Moshe v'Aharon al yadam, that Moshe and Aaron died because of these waters. Shekesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Din B'Mikudashav, when Hashem does din, when he does judgment, when Hashem is harsh and judges harshly and judges in a very fine-tuned way with his sanctified ones, with his holy ones, Hu Yaroi U'Miskadesh Al HaBrios, he is feared and he is sanctified on his creations. And Rashi brings a pasuk to support this. When Hashem is so exacting on the righteous, then Hashem's name is sanctified. Because this shows us it's not a game. It's not just some sort of like a fun time. Life is serious. Being the servant of Hashem is serious. We are all servants of Hashem. It's a serious thing. And when Hashem demonstrates how exacting he is, he doesn't do that with us because we would never survive. We can't handle Hashem being so exacting with us. But the great ones can handle it. The great ones can survive and thrive when Hashem is exacting with them. And when Hashem does that, then it makes him sanctified. It makes him feared. And so the lesson that was meant to be learned was not learned. The lesson that was meant to be learned, which is that Hashem speaks to us and we have the capacity to understand what an unbelievable thing that a mere created being can actually understand and be communicated with by Hashem himself through Moshe Rabbeinu. That Hashem can speak to us. Lowly us, we're able to be spoken to. We have a whole Torah that Hashem is speaking to us. And He gave us the faculties to be able to understand and appreciate what we're being told. What an unbelievable thing. And we're very dependent. We desperately need Hashem all the time. And a rock which doesn't have the capacity to understand or speak, and a rock which doesn't mean anything, yet the rock does the will of Hashem, even if the rock doesn't do the will of Hashem the first time, Hashem is willing to speak a second time, and the rock does the will of Hashem. We, even if we have not listened to Hashem over and over again, but when Hashem speaks to us again, we can listen. And when we do, the water comes gushing forth. Hashem is not interested in punishing us for disobedience. Hashem is interested in rewarding us for obedience. Unfortunately, there is a staff, and if we do not obey, God forbid, that can be used. But the more powerful lesson is, listen to Hashem. That's the message that Hashem wanted there to be. That message was lost, but another message took its place. And that message is, life is serious. Even someone as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as Aaron HaKohen, can make a mistake. And when they do, it's not overlooked. Hashem holds on to it, and He will punish for it. Sometimes He allows for teshuva. In this case, He did not allow for teshuva, and He punished them for it. Because life is serious, life is important, it cannot just be glossed over. And that ends up being the lesson of this water. And imagine, for the next year, while the Jewish people are drinking from this water and using this water for all of their life needs, every time they use the water, the image of Moshe Rabbeinu at the rock, striking the rock two times, and then Hashem punishing Moshe and Aaron and saying, you will not come into Eretz Yisrael, that is something which the Jews would think of over and over and over and over and over again. And that lesson is learned, and Hashem is sanctified, although not in the originally intended way, but Hashem is sanctified through the water and striking of the rock. Any questions, either through chat or you can unmute yourself. Okay, we are going to stop here, and Amir Tzashem, we will continue next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.